The technological revolution, speaking of which, of recent years has left few corners of our world untouched. Faster and smaller computers, smart devices, and the internet changed so many things in so many ways. That includes education. Students can now attend school online at home in their pajamas. And the students who still attend school at school in the classroom get a very different set of tools for learning. Friday this week, Southern Oregon University hosts an EdTech Summit to let educators get together on the latest trends. One of the people who's behind the origination of the EdTech Summit years ago is Virginia Pettit, who's now Supervisor of Technology and Media Services at the Southern Oregon Education Service District based in Medford. Virginia, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So it sounds like your job in particular has been fairly technology heavy for quite some time now.
Well, I was a classroom teacher for 20 years, and then I moved over to the ESD about 11 years ago to be in charge of their online program. So we have some online and distance learning that we provide as supplementary to what students are doing in other schools. So it's not a charter school, it's just a supplementary program. But in addition to that, I took on a lot of technology training for teachers to integrate technology into their classrooms. Because the world has changed dramatically in the last 10 to 20 years, schools are working to catch up with that. And so that's where we came up with the EdTech Summit.
I can imagine that even in the course of the 11 years you've been with ESD, then, that the technology has changed probably several times over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A big example would be phones. I tell people, think about your cell phone 10 years ago, and some people didn't have a cell phone 10 years ago, but if you had one 8 years ago or 7 years ago, and how different it is from the one you probably have sitting in front of you today. They got smaller, and then they got bigger, and then they got smaller, and now they're getting bigger, and you know, a lot more features. And what this phone will do is a lot more than the first computer I had would do, which was actually a VIC-20 back in the day.
Really?
And and of course, you know, I can do everything on this, right? I can talk to people across the world. I can, you know, email, visit websites, do all sorts of things. And so that's a huge change in the last 10 years. Didn't exist 10 years ago.
My first was an IBM Aptiva, and we were just so impressed that we had a hard drive that was actually 1.2 gigabytes, which seemed, you know, seemed tremendous then, and now is like, oh, is that all you got in there? You know, on a little chip about the size of your thumbnail, your pinky nail, actually. Very, very different world. So applying the changes within technology, I mean, aside from all the many other things that people complain about with public schools, it seems like integrating the technology has been an ongoing issue. What are some of the issues with making sure that you have stuff available that helps the students learn and doesn't distract the teachers and the students just getting stuck in the how to operate this stuff?
Well, actually, that's one of the things that we try to set things up so they don't fail. And actually, the way we should be setting things up is so that they do fail. So the big learning experience is, how do you fix failure? How do we figure out what to do right? And how to change, and that's the real learning experience. And so I think part of it is just helping teachers learn how to take those failures and make them into successes, and also to be comfortable with sometimes you don't have all the answers. Most teachers understand that anyway. But with technology, sometimes you can't figure your way out today, and you might have to pick it up again tomorrow and try it again. But you know, in their defense, most teachers, and even myself included, had no foundational training or teaching in technology, and so it's been a lot of trial and error.
And is that why? I mean, you were one of the originators of the EdTech Summit 5 years ago, weren't you? Or 4 years ago?
Right, I was. And because I felt privileged that I get to go to conferences and learn new things, and not every teacher gets to do that, because to go up to Portland or Seattle or the Bay Area is pretty expensive, especially if you want to send a few teachers. And so I was talking to Dennis Jablonski here at Southern Oregon University, and we said, why don't we bring an event like that here locally? And so the first year we had about 200 people, and it's obviously grown since then. And this year we are bursting at the seams with over 550 people.
Wow. And where are they traveling from? I mean,
all over the place. Portland, Forest Grove, Woodburn, Roseburg, Coos Bay, of course around here, Jackson, Josephine, Klamath counties, Yreka, so Northern California. So all over the place, with the greatest number from the three county area.
From Southern Oregon, from
right.
Jackson, Josephine, Klamath.
Right.
And so what is there a keynote? Is it that sort of thing where you have like one major session where everybody attends and then you break out into different rooms?
Yes. Yeah. Our keynote is Peter Pappas. He is a professor at University of Portland. And he will be sharing his experiences with how he teaches his pre-service teachers, and they create their own textbook on iTunes as part of their class. And so he's got a very unique perspective on a lot of things. He's a great blogger and speaker, and we're really excited to have him.
I'm glad you mentioned textbooks, because that's where my brain tends to go first, is thinking about, do you even do you even need to go through the process of acquiring paper textbooks anymore, given that it seems probably cheaper over time to go for electronics and let the kids get the textbooks on tablets?
Well, it's a little bit chicken or the egg. If not every district is prepared to have one-to-one technology, there's several districts in Southern Oregon working in that direction. But until every student has a device and you're pretty certain that that device is going to work most of the time, it's sure handy to have a backup. But the problem with textbooks is, of course, the weight and also that they're outdated by the time they're printed. And so one of the advantages of digital content is that it can be updated instantly. If we find a boo-boo on a web page, right, and we can update that almost instantly. Textbooks, you have to wait a few years until the new edition comes out and then there's a new cost. What's ironic about digital materials is that generally they're not less expensive for schools than physical textbooks. So that's a source of frustration. And so we're trying to, you know, look at a lot of different things, and open educational resources are sometimes touted as a possibility, and they are a possibility, but we haven't quite figured out how to use those either because, you know, we're all familiar with waking up in the morning and Google is different, right?
Right.
And so if that happens to a textbook and you've prepared a lesson and you think you're going to go online and they're going to do a certain activity, you've always got to have a plan B and C with technology. Because the technology itself, the tablets might not work, the internet might not work. If you're in Southern Oregon, you might not have electricity. And some mornings for a few hours. And if the content has changed overnight by some content provider, then that could really change things in the classroom. And so there's a lot of strategies there to that need to be put together. So that's part of what we're working on in the EdTech Summit is what are the strategies for doing this and what's the actual pedagogy? Because it's so different from using paper and pencil.
Virginia Pettit, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk about technology and education. She's one of the founders of the EdTech Summit coming Friday to Southern Oregon University. She's the Supervisor of Technology and Media Services at the Southern Oregon ESD. You can join us at 800-838-3760 around the listening area by email jx@jeffnet.org or visit with Virginia's picture on our Facebook page. Here's Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
This is something that's frustrated me for years. I'm, you know, about 74 years old, and I work with young people. And the more technology, quote-unquote, they use, just seems like all they're doing is exploring the stuff that is already known, that there's just two sides to everything. True technology should be like the human mind. It should start out by exploring what we always call the unknowable and then, you know, fill in the blanks.
So a bigger reach is needed here, you're thinking.
Yeah, too much of technology is technology because a university came up with this idea that we're going to go this way or whatever, and then, you know, they started selling something.
Mm-hmm. Now, all right, let's get a response. All right,
let's explore the unknowable.
The unknowable. Okay, Jim, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Virginia, thoughts?
Jim, thank you for bringing that up. I think it's a really good point. So one of the things we're working towards is really transformational learning. And when we talk about transformational learning, it's kind of a new word, or we talk about students creating their own content, people, say, what does that mean? Well, it means exactly what you're talking about is they say, what if? What about? How can I do this? How can I figure this out? And so that how can I figure this out or how can I find this out or, you know, why can't we put man on Mars? I mean, what are the issues with that and how can I investigate those? And so really this new way of learning to use technology is about investigative and inquiry-based learning, not just rote learning. And that's exactly what we're trying to promote is project-based, problem-based, inquiry-based learning using technology.
Are most of the people coming to EdTech Summit people who will then go back and talk to the classroom teachers in their district, or do you have a fair number of classroom teachers showing up as well?
It's all over the board. We have administrators, classroom teachers, pre-service teachers, meaning they're going to be teachers very soon. We have college professors. We have tech support staff, because it's really important that the tech support staff understand how this technology is going to be used in the classroom, because how they set up the technology in the school is based on their understanding of how it's going to be used. And so we found it's really important to include them in all these conversations. So best practices, an administrator, a couple teachers, and a tech person attend together.
Let's take another call. Here's David in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Virginia Pettit from the Southern Oregon ESD. We're talking technology in the classroom.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been teaching for about 20 years, and I love technology. I started out with ClarisWorks when it first came on the Apples. And, you know, kids kind of encouraged me to move into PowerPoint, but I've basically got a concern with the overuse of technology, and I was wondering if you could just kind of address how you inform teachers about the correct use of it, because I see too much rapid external visual stimulation, just rapid images being displayed. And even at an early age, I see in kindergarten classes them using the smart boards, and instead of the letter A being introduced as a art project or something, they'll have a video of a little chicken bouncing across the screen and the letter A popping out of it, and just too much kind of fluff. And I think it basically sets kids up to have a hard time listening to just a teacher talking as opposed to needing rapid visual stimulation. Every science, language, arts, and math lesson these days has a little cartoon that introduces the topic for you, and you're supposed to play this before you teach the lesson. And I just see it getting a little bit too much.
Okay, let's see what Virginia says about that. Thanks for the call, David.
Hi, well, I think I appreciate this question, too, because I get asked that question all the time, and I think it's a good thing to bring up. And I think technology is like any other tool. You want to use it as it's appropriate to use it and not constantly. Even with the online classes that we do, not everything is actually online. The instructions might be online, but it might say, hey, go get baking soda and vinegar and, you know, make the usual jello volcano thing, you know, but the kinesthetic is still really important and definitely shouldn't be ignored. There are ways to combine the kinesthetic and technology very successfully. There's been some great research about tracing over the letters on an iPad with students, and especially with special needs students needing that extra kinesthetic piece. And so we know that the more different ways we use to teach things, the more multi-modalities we use, the better students learn.
You're still trying to make sure, no matter what the tools are, that you're triggering off all the brain cells in a couple of different ways.
Exactly.
What is the biggest session or has been at the first four iterations of EdTech Summit? I mean, what are the ones that everybody clamors to and they feel like they have to be at that session?
Wow. Well, it changes a little bit year to year, but one of the big ones is iPads. In Oregon, of course, 80% of our school districts use Google Apps for Education, so all the Google sessions are really big. And another big focus recently is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And so we have a number of sessions that are STEM, and they're hands-on, too. And so robotics and 3D printing and quadcopters and makey-makey, which is electronics. We call it squishy circuits. So yeah. you plug bananas into this device and you can play bananas like a piano. And we have a maker space with a couple different activities for participants to do. So, and those are very, you know, if you want to call them low tech, hands-on kinds of things where people, you know, get in there and actually do something.
I'm curious to know, Virginia, if there's a specified approach where, I mean, because you're talking about kids who grew up with devices now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, always had them around. Generally through their lives, and whether you try to take advantage of that and let them help in let them guide things in some ways technologically, or if there's this effort to always make sure that you're one step ahead of them as teachers.
My students taught me years ago. I spent 20 years in the classroom. My students taught me that I could not stay ahead of them. And once I accepted that and we kind of worked together on things, the whole classroom situation changed. And so I really recommend that teachers consider working alongside their students. And, of course, the administrators are part of that, too. There has to be a vision from the top down to say students are working alongside their students and not necessarily standing at the front of the room directing traffic, but helping students move in certain directions. It's kind of a different approach. And so definitely as a high school teacher, I had students who did know more than I did about some things. And sometimes they came in and taught me things. And then we'd turn around and teach to the class, or there were just a variety of strategies.
Really have to have an open mind then, for sure.
Absolutely.
Is the EdTech Summit filled up? I mean, do you have any more spaces left?
Very few. We're over 550 right now. The capacity of the music recital hall, I believe, is 480. So some of those 550 will be helping set things up for the first breakout session, so they might unfortunately miss the keynote. I think we're going to be very, very cozy there over at the Music Recital Hall.
And what does it cost for people to attend the EdTech Summit?
So for folks in Jackson, Josephine, Klamath County who are part of our Education Service District, it's $20 per person, and that's food and everything included. And for those outside the region, it's $50 per person, so folks from Yreka or Portland or wherever.
Okay, so it sounds like a big doing coming up on Friday, the EdTech Summit, Educational Technology Summit. 2015, Educate, Innovate, Collaborate is the buzz phrase this year. It's on Friday at Southern Oregon University, presented by Southern Oregon University and the Southern Oregon Education Service District, where Virginia Pettit is the Supervisor of Technology and Media Services. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
All right, thank you.